Madeleine Brolly has been an RNIB talking book narrator for 4 years. In that time, she's recorded a range of titles, from Kate Moss's The Mistletoe Bride to Twisted by Linda LaPlante. But many listeners will recognise her as the voice of Elena Ferrante's best-selling Neapolitan novels. Here's a clip of her reading the first book in the trilogy, My Brilliant Friend.
This morning, Reno telephoned. I thought he wanted money again, and I was ready to say no. But that was not the reason for the phone call. His mother was gone. Since when? Since 2 weeks ago. And you're calling me now? My tone must have seemed hostile, even though I wasn't angry or offended. There was just a touch of sarcasm. He tried to respond, but he did so in an awkward, muddled way, half in dialect, half in Italian. He said he was sure that his mother was wandering around Naples as usual. Even at night? You know how she is. I do, but does 2 weeks of absence seem normal? Yes. You haven't seen her for a while, Elena. She's gotten worse. She's never sleepy. She comes in, goes out, does what she likes. Anyway, in the end, he had started to get worried. He had asked everyone, made the rounds of the hospitals. He'd even gone to the police. Nothing. His mother wasn't anywhere.
Kim Normanton asked Madeleine how she became involved in RNIB talking books.
I had heard from friends who were producers that talking books was a lovely place to work because there's a sense of belonging and you get to work with the same faces over again, which you don't often get to do in acting. You often work with a company for a short time and then you move on. It's a bit like a family. So it was something I really wanted to do. I also have a cousin who works with guide dogs for the blind, and she encouraged me when she knew that I was training to be an actor. She said, oh, you know, you must put yourself forward and see if you can get onto talking books because it's such a great service.
And what was the very first book that you read?
The very first book I read was A Daughter's Secret by Anne Enright. And I think I was asked to do it because the character, the main girl, the daughter, who has the secret, is from County Down, and my dad is from Derry, so it's virtually the same accent. She then travels to Birmingham, and she's surrounded by people from the south of Ireland, and my mum was from the south of Ireland. So they needed someone who could narrate it in standard English, do a Derry Down accent, and lots of Irish ones. So I think that's how I first got my in.
So Rupert, who does the casting quite often, he must have read your CV very carefully to know all these things.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what's your favourite accent, and can you give us a little bit of a fling with it?
I do love the Derry accent where my dad is from. I do go into that. It was the first accent I ever did as a child. My cousins were staying and they wanted to know where their sandals were. And I just thought that was hilarious, sandals. So that was my first word in a foreign accent.
Do you feel a bit connected with your dad when you're speaking that accent? Can you hear him speaking?
I can, yeah. I think that's a lovely thing. When you do accents, often people say they have a sentence to help them get in. So they have a go-to word or a go-to sentence. But I think of people. So definitely Northern Irish, I think of my dad, and Southern Irish, my mum, and so on.
And is it difficult with accents? Is it does it take a lot of effort to kind of get them if you've got one in a book that they've thrown at you?
It can be difficult when they're chopping and changing, when you're going from very diverse accents. Often French accents are hard. You know, if you've got a foreign, so to not make it too kind of over the top, too hello, it's very hard. So it's best just to try and give a little colour of an accent sometimes rather than a full-on because it just sounds ridiculous.
So you're perhaps best known amongst our talking book readers for your narration of Elena Ferrante's popular Neapolitan series. Do you have to do accents in that? Do you have Italian accents or...?
No, it's just read really in an English accent. I think it'd be very distracting if all the accents, you know, had an Italian. So you just kind of do it as a not fully working class, but it is set in Napoli, very poor part of Napoli. So just a little colour towards that. I think if you go over the top, you're robbing the listener of the experience that a reader gets. You know, when you read a book, you hear things in your head and you don't want someone to make a massive decision on their behalf, you know? Otherwise you're producing it too much. So just slight variations, male to female and so on.
And we heard a little snatch of one of those books just before this interview. So can you just tell us a little bit about what they're about?
I had been recommended these books by I don't know how many people, often women saying that they'd never read books that were so well written about women and women's friendships before. And sure enough, I think it's one of my top 10 books. So it's about the friendship between two girls growing up in Napoli. And they are both incredibly intelligent, one of them more driven, the other one almost more naturally, instinctively intelligent. And it's about how they grow apart, following different paths, trying to extricate themselves from the very male, corrupt, you know, atmosphere of Napoli post-Second World War. It's brilliant and insightful. I think men also would love it just because it's a story well told.
And how many have you read so far?
I've only read the first two, and I'm hoping to be asked to do the third one because I've put off reading it because it's a bit like reading when I read Harry Potter's. I can't wait to read the next one.
And you put off reading it because you want to read it fresh just before you actually narrate it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do they make you want to go to Italy?
Absolutely. I worked there years ago teaching English and working in summer camps. And so I've been there quite a lot, but never kind of relaxing by a pool. But I definitely want to go to the south of Italy and possibly read the third one. That would be great if someone could make that happen.
And, you know, you touched there on your wider work. You've travelled around Italy when you were younger, but you also do acting, and I know you've done radio work as well. Do you have a sort of preferred métier, or do you like a sort of licorice all sorts, a sort of pick a mix of all of them?
I prefer theatre, and I particularly love working as an actor-musician. I play flute and guitar and sing. So I love plays where the actors underscore the music and then they put their instruments down and they come on and then they act their scene. So they're providing the music and the story. And I love that. And I think audiences love to see that as well.
They do that at Shakespeare's Globe, don't they?
They do, yeah. They haven't asked me, though, so I'm
well,
not...
Well, Madeline, just get yourself around there, girl.
Well, I'll knock on a door.
And do you have a particularly memorable role that you've played that you really enjoyed?
Maybe not one standout role. I love working in rep. I've been really lucky. I've worked in rep quite a lot, where you get to play multiple roles. So, for example, in a summer season, there will be five plays, usually a thriller, some straight, you know, one other straight play, and then farces and comedies. And you rehearse one play during the day from, say, 9 till 5, and then after 8 days, that play goes up. So you're then performing at night, and then in the daytime, you're then rehearsing your next play. So it's absolutely exhausting, but it's a lot of fun. And I think within those, I once played in Lettuce and Lovage. I played Lovage, the kind of, she's quite a hard character. Who else have I played? Sarah in Table Manners and, you know, Alan Ayckbourn. He's always great fun to play. But I think the experience of being in rep is a bit like a roller coaster. So I think I've been spoiled. I do like that licorice all sort aspect to it, that you get to play more than one character.
Sounds quite high energy. Do you have quite high energy? Do you need quite high energy to do this kind of reading work as well?
Yeah, doing rep is very physical, but I've done that usually in Sheringham, which is next to the sea. So whenever you're tired, you just throw yourself into the sea. And usually my way of coping is to almost get rid of more energy. I like to run. So the hardest thing I've ever found with narrating books is actually the stillness. And I've met people before in the green room. Some of them are actually radio broadcasters. They're professionals, but they've never narrated a book before. And you see them after a few hours and they're absolutely exhausted. It's the level of concentration and the fact that you are sitting still almost requires more energy than if you were moving about in a funny way. You get kind of like a head fog and you can get quite a stiff face, funnily enough, just from sheer talking.
Do you ever get very, very sleepy because you're so tired?
Not sleepy, I think because you have to concentrate so much. And the first time I did it, actually, I was sleepy because I was so worried about how difficult it might be that I hardly slept the night before. I was just going through my head all the things that could go wrong and what if you got stuck on one sentence. But then once you get into the studio, you realise that you're not on your own. You have a producer. So it is a co-production in a way. Do you know what I mean? Even though you've prepped it on your own and you've got your ideas, you do have backup and someone else helping you through it. So it was okay after the first one.
And I know you're a really big gardener and we're about to come into spring. So you probably don't have a lot of time to read because you're probably planting and things at the moment. But is there anything that you want to read once you've got all your planting done? Or is there anything you're actually reading at the moment on your bedside table?
I am doing a lot of planting and digging. I have to say, yeah, probably just the next Elena Ferrante is really high up on my list.
It's sitting blinking next to your bed saying, give me the green light, please,
exactly.
Rupert.
Exactly. I need to go and speak to Rupert now after this, see if I can do the next one. I also read Serious Sweet by A.L. Kennedy. It was on the long list for the Booker Prize. So the RNIB got all of those out and ready for listeners in time for the nominations. And having read that, I am definitely going to read more A.L. Kennedy because it was fantastic. So that's on my list for this year.
Thanks to Kim and to Madeline Brolly. Her reading of Emma Ferrante's My Brilliant Friend is TB22520. Its sequel, The Story of a New Name, is TB23134. And let's hope that Madeline is called back into the studio soon to record the third book in the trilogy.